Blog Talk Radio. I would like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio Independent Music Showcase, February the 19th, 2020. We're welcoming back to our show Terry Draper. And Terry Draper, you can find out everything you need to know on www.terrydraper.com. He has a new album out. We just heard the title track, Sunset on Mars. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Nice to be back. How's my connection? I'm calling from Mars.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Good.
Yeah, you like hanging out in hot places. I know that. So that's pretty hot. And takes a while to get there. But we're glad your connection worked all the way from Mars. So that's really good. One thing I would like to do before we get started is just congratulate you and the band on your induction into the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame. That's so cool. For calling occupants of interplanetary craft, and you, Dee, and John, and getting some recognition there for a tremendous song. It was written by you and John, I believe. And what a great honor, and I just want to say congratulations, Terry.
Well, thank you very much. That was quite an enjoyable evening, being inducted, and when we took the stage for our thank yous, John went first and thanked everybody, Dee and Harry Brown and Doug Riley and Frank Davies and all the people that helped us do it, and he only left me to thank the International Flying Saucer Bureau for creating World Contact Day and the message that they wanted to send out to the aliens via mental telepathy on March 15th, 1953, that is the World Contact Day. All the members of the International Flying Saucer Bureau were invited to memorize and mentally recite the message. They were trying to reach the aliens via mental telepathy. And when John and I happened upon this message and this story, we thought, well, how cool would it be if we turned it into a song? And surely the radio waves will emanate further than our puny brains. Mm. And so so we set about writing the song, and Dee was a big part of it. He was instrumental in making sure it got done. He was a strong believer. He plays mellotron on that song, as well as a bit of guitar and some other stuff. That's a fond memory.
Yeah, that had to be such a fun night to get together with John and Dee and to, you know, I know that you're a humble guy and I've known you for a while, but it's kind of cool sometimes when your music is recognized and you know that, you know, people recognize the fact that the Carpenters had a big hit in 77 with it. And I believe didn't it get Grammy nominated for that song by the Carpenters?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I kind of think it did. So, anyway, that's really cool. And I saw that and I thought, man, that's just awesome. So congratulations to you guys. Now, what is awesome, I'm going to say awesomer, and I don't think that's a word, but we'll use it tonight. What's awesomer is the fact that you're still making music. And we were talking about that, and you've been doing this for a long time. And it's just so awesome for you to continue writing music that is really good and means something. And there's a lot of people that write music and it can be hit records, Terry, and it can do things like that. But there's music that's out there that's intelligent and heartfelt. And I've always felt that about your band and your music. You put a lot into it. You just don't think, well, you know, I'm going to write a couple songs and see what happens. I think it's really thought through, and I think it's great that I'm really glad you're still doing it. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that are. What is it when you look back? Let's go back just a minute in our time machine, Terry, to 1976, and you see how you and the guys, or just talk about you, I guess, approached songwriting and the world and everything around you through your music. How does that compare to how you do it today?
Oh, not that radically different, you know. Here's what's interesting, and I've thought about this before and talked about it, is that when Klaatu was writing those songs and making those records, the music industry was descending into disco. And, I'm not that big a fan of Shake Your Booty and Staying Alive. It's just not my kind of music. And I think what John and I did subconsciously is we looked back and looked inside ourselves and to our roots, which extend from the 50s rock and roll through the British invasion, through that psychedelic era of the Haight-Ashbury late 60s and the R&B that was so spectacular that was going on in those days, right through to progressive rock. And we drew on those elements to make the music that we wanted to hear on the radio. Not necessarily the music we wanted to make, although it's a small differentiation, but it was the music we wanted to hear. I wanted to hear really good music on the radio again. I was not thrilled with this dissension into disco.
Yeah, that sounds
like. And I keep on doing it, John. I just keep on doing. And that's one of the other things that, because Klaatu had a great deal of latitude, we could make any kind of music we wanted. We could do a bit of prog rock with like Polyxenia and So Said the Lighthouse Keeper and even Calling Occupants. And we could do a bona fide pop tune like Everybody Took a Holiday or California Jam. And we could just we did whatever we wanted. Nobody told us what we couldn't do. I remember on the last album, Magenta Lane, we recorded in 1981, the people from Capitol Records came out to hear it. And one of the people who worked at Capitol, who will remain nameless, he gave us the dirtiest look when Mrs. Toad's Cookies was playing. He just thought that song had no business being in the music business. And it's one of John's songs. It's a really cute song about, too much good is as bad as too much bad, you know, that kind of thing. And yep. John, Dee and I really liked it and said, no, let's do this. This is fun. It was like a Sesame Street kind of song. So that kind of latitude just allows you such creative freedom. And I still do that. If I feel like doing a ballad, I do one. If I want to do some prog rock or something spacey, whatever appeals to me and interests me, I just follow my nose. I haven't had a record deal ever since Klaatu broke up. I've always been doing exactly what I want to do. And it's a lot of freedom, and I love it.
You can tell. I mean, you can really tell, and in the music, because I've had the privilege of talking to a lot of musicians and a lot of different people, and I think that your message to musicians out there would be just be yourself, create the music that is in you. And let it go out there. And if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But you can't make it so that they like it or that it's going to be a hit or it's going to be this or that. Because I think, Terry, in any form of art, whether it's painting or if it's in sculpture or anything, I'm totally drawn to natural things, things that are pure and true. And I don't think there's a bad piece of art if it's done in the right spirit. And I think that your music, man, it's just like, to me, I listen to it and I listen to a lot of music and I think, you've really tapped into a really good vibe. And I love listening to it. You've got messages to it. You've got, things that are timely. And so, yeah, I just say a great job on the album. For the listeners out there, Sunset on Mars at terrydraper.com. Where else could they get the music, Terry?
I think it's in retail. I'm distributed in America by MVD. So okay. It should be in the stores, or you certainly could order it through your local record store. Do they still call them record stores, John?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, me too. Yeah. You talk about the messages and everything. And I'm an extremely optimistic person. My glass is always half full. I see the silver lining and everything. And I have five or six other cliches I could throw at you. But even the song we just heard, Sunset on Mars, what I'm singing about is the demise of Earth. And while I'm singing about it, and we're going to watch the first sunset on Mars when we get there, what I'm really thinking about is how long before we trash Mars the way we've done to Earth. Mm. But I don't go there. I don't vocalize that. I just sort of set a premonition because, you know, you can't be negative all the time. So I'm trying to be optimistic. And my favorite line in the song is, I can't remember it. Anyway, so
it'll come to you.
Is where I'm living.
It's one of those things where, so let's talk about, you know, there's a lot to talk about, but let's just talk about the concept of it. And when you started to work, and the last time we talked, you said you were working on new stuff and a new album, and that you're always doing that, which is awesome. And so do you have, like, out of the songs that made this album, Terry, were there a lot of different songs, or was this pretty much how you constructed it to be to fit what you wanted to? Was that make sense? Where did you just write a lot of songs and say, well, we'll do this? Or did you sit down thinking, this is kind of what we'd want to do with this album?
No, generally, I just keep writing and recording and creating as the moment hits me. I watched a program a couple of months ago, and it was about the Victorian era. And the industrial age. And I sat down and wrote this new song called The Sun Never Sets on the British Empire. And so that just happens. I was watching a Nova program, and I guess it was an old program, and it's about the space messenger Voyager that we sent out so many years ago. I think Carl Sagan was involved. And it's that probe with the picture of the man and the woman and the star map, and there's some music included. Well, Voyager had left our solar system and sent back all these images of Uranus and Saturn, and I was watching this program, and I was just, like, so taken by it. And it was just when it was over, I went to my piano and started working on this new thing. And so what I've created, I personalized this envoy, the space probe Voyager, and the new song is called I Am Voyager. And I sing the song from the point of view of being that probe and telling you all the things I'm seeing out in the outer solar system and how bloody cold it is and how lonely I am. So things just come along and inspire me, and I sit down and turn it into a 4-minute little, or five, sometimes six minutes of music. And then, you know, when there's 20 or 30, I start going through and seeing which ones. On this particular album, there's a song called All of Our Days that I did 4 or 5 years ago, maybe longer. And it was to be included on a collection called When the World Was Young, but it didn't quite work. I couldn't seem to shoehorn it in anywhere. So it just sat there. And then when this one came along, it was like, okay, well, let me get a couple of songs in, and then we'll go to that one. It's a very moody blues kind of thing. That's what I was trying to do. And so it seemed to fit on this record, where it didn't fit 6 years ago. So, it's, you know, you know what's really important about making a record? Once you get all these songs you want to use, the sequence of them is so important. Some songs sound so much better when they come after song A as opposed to song B. And so when you're sequencing your record, your album, whatever it is, that becomes really important so that you can get a flow to the whole thing. So you're pulling your listener along through the album, and God forbid they should get up and stop it. You've got to keep them listening.
That's a great point. I mean, that kind of, I think you and I have talked about the vinyl record before on this show and how we appreciate that, where, you know, and I to this day, I actually did it today, will sit down with my turntable and play side one, play side two, and I'll listen to it. And it's not like if we have music all through the house and I can listen to different music, but I'm always doing something or thinking about something, Terry. But to be able to give it your attention, you know, I think, do you think that's something that our, and I think you hit it on a couple of your songs, but you hit it pretty good with Screenagers with when you talk about the kids today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, it's attention span. It's just taking your time to actually know what you're doing. And I think that's what way with listening to music is, to me anyway. It's like,
hey, John,
just taking...
do you remember that great song by the Buggles?
By the Buggles?
Video Killed the Radio Star?
Yeah, that was back in the 80s.
Yeah, nothing truer was ever said. The advent of rock videos and you know, tight outfits, and we could even refer to the halftime show at Super Bowl if you want. What happened is that, music, I don't know when or how it happened, but I think video had a lot to do with it. It slowly became a backdrop for our lives, where we're you know, listening to the new whoever album while we're playing this new video game. And I remember when I was in my formative years, and I would hitchhike down into the city in Toronto and go to my favorite record store and get in line on the day it was released to get the Moody Blues On the Threshold of a Dream. The day it was released, I'd rush back home, get all my friends over, and we would, four or five of us, and we would listen to this album, both sides, multiple times without speaking. There was no talking.
Yeah.
We were just folk. It was all about the music. And, I mean, you know, life changes, things go on. We lived through a musical renaissance. I'm sure you and I have talked about this. I truly believe it was a renaissance in the 60s, a musical renaissance, not unlike
Absolutely.
The 1500s right. with Leonardo and Raphael. So, you know, I mean, you can't keep that up forever. You'll have a heart attack, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with everything you're saying. I was thinking before the show, if Toronto still has – you know, really good record stores, because you were asking me if they still call them that. And we live real close to Columbus, Ohio, and they have some great record stores. It's right close to the Ohio State University. There's a lot of students are really into music and vinyl and things like that. And it is incredible, Terry. I can spend so much time in a record store. It's not even funny. It's like, just drop me off and I'll be here all day.
I'm glad that you can still do that. My record collection is quite large, and it encompasses most of what I would listen to, although I rarely listen to other people's music. I seem to be so busy with all the shit that's in stuff. Sorry. I seem to be so busy with all the stuff that's in my own head that I don't have room for other people when it comes to music.
Yeah,
but
that's
there are
another
some
good
great
point.
Record stores still in town. A bunch of used
good.
Records and CD stores. They're still out there.
Yeah, that's so cool. And Record Store Day is coming up too. And I go get my wife and I have five kids and they're all grown. And I try to get as many as I can. And we make a whole day of it, Terry. It's like a holiday. We start off and we just go to all the record stores and we have dinner and we have a great time and we trade music off. And I think that's the coolest thing, you know, because my kids will have different ideas about this and they'll be talking to me about music that I might not understand. But, you know, that's what it's all about, listening to it. And I think it's great. My guest is Terry Draper, and he has a new album out called Sunset on Mars. His website is terrydraper.com. And we started off today's show with the title track from that, and it's just such a beautiful song. So I think we'll play another song. I think we'll play Screenagers, because that kind of is a little bit of what we're talking about, and the world going so fast, and everybody I don't even know exactly how to say it, because I do some broadcasting for sports, and it's really a great thing, and I'm able to go to these games and do it. Terry, I see all the people at games on their phones. So there's a live game going on, and it's a great game, and all these people are on their phones, and I'm thinking, what are you guys doing? I mean, this is real life here. So I know you.
You know,
on
I
that.
Get it. I get it.
Yeah.
And when I made a book, I always make a booklet to go with my album. And if you order the album from me, the CD, I'll send you the CD. But I will also mail you the download. This particular album, Sunset on Mars, has 16 songs, 15 videos, and a 40-page booklet. And in the booklet, I dedicate two pages to each song. And I do it myself on Photoshop and stuff, and I have a lot of fun doing that. It's very creative. And for screenagers, I have a picture of three or four teenagers sitting at a bench in a museum, and they're all staring at their phones, and behind them is the most beautiful Rembrandt painting you can imagine.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm seeing, is that people are living inside their device. And you know what? At my advanced age, I still don't own a cell phone.
Mm.
I never have. I never will. You couldn't buy it, give it to me, and pay the bill, John. I wouldn't take it.
You know, Terry, are you the only one in the world? You might be.
Well, I borrowed my wife's cell phone to call you from Mars tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good to have that, you know, accessible there, but I'm glad you did. Well, let's play Screenagers. And for the listeners out there, this is Terry Draper from his latest release, Sunset on Mars, and we'll be right back after this.
Thank you.
And I want to welcome everyone back to John Talk Radio, Independent Music Showcase. My special guest is Terry Draper. We're listening to music and talking about his latest release, Sunset on Mars. Terry's website is terrydraper.com. That's a really cool song, Terry. Can you tell us about the people that played on the album? And I know you had some help with guitar and some vocals there. Could you kind of go through who your help was on this album?
Well, actually, the guitar player on that song is an old friend, Glenn Belcher. He played on my Civil War album back in 2000. He helped me do my very first solo album, Light Years Later, which I released in 1997. I took a bit of a hiatus after Klaatu broke up. I was so disappointed that this band that the world thought was the Beatles, in 1977, 5 years later, we couldn't get a record deal, couldn't get a gig, and threw in the towel. And there was the whole backlash that people thought that we perpetrated that rumor and all that. And so I decided bluntly to turn my back on the music business. I wasn't joining another band. I wasn't playing at high school auditoriums and the Holiday Inn with the lounge lizards. I just decided to go back to my construction life, get my roofing business up and running, make good money, have a real life, children, home, get married, all that stuff, you know. But never stopped making the music. I've always had a tape recorder or something, and I kept on doing it. And then 15 years after the band broke up, I realized I had all these songs, and I thought, I should put a record out. And Glenn Belcher helped me do that. The girl that's singing on Screenagers and Sunset on Mars is the lovely Brenda Webb. I met her quite a few years ago. An old mutual friend of ours asked me to join his band and play drums in it, which I hadn't done for years. And he said he was doing this tribute act. And I said, really? And I said, he told me what it was. And I said, oh, that's cool. Like, my wife got the CD for Christmas. I'll take a listen and call you back. So I went and listened to the Adele album, and I called my friend back. I said, you got a girl that can sing this stuff? And he says, I do. I said, all right, I'm in. So I practiced the drums again so I could play again, because it's not like riding a bicycle, you know. You got to find that groove again. It's a bit of work.
Yeah.
But that's
yep.
how I met Brenda, and she was over a couple days ago doing some new vocals on some new recordings for me. She's just brilliant. And she's so expressive. When she was young, she wasn't in rock bands like most of us. She was doing theater. She'd been in South Pacific and, all of those things, all that theater stuff, you know. So she's very expressive and quite talented. The other fellow that plays guitar is all the time, he was here all day today. We had a ball.
Oh, wow.
He plays a nice guitar. I think it's a Stratocaster. That was a joke, John. He plays nice guitar. Never mind. Anyway, that's Bill Nadeau, and he's all over Sunset on Mars. But what's funny about that is that he was unavailable while I was doing the recording. So I went through all the old songs we'd done together and grabbed little bits and pieces of previous song recordings he had done and turned them backwards and put delay on them and threw them in the song. So that intro of us being in that weird space thing is backwards guitars and different little... So Bill's on that song, but in absentia. He's not really there.
Yeah.
I just threw his stuff on there. Ray Paul is the other fellow I work with. He does a lot of background vocals for me and plays bass. And I recorded for him, helped him produce a few songs here at Swamp Manor. And our voices blend beautifully. We did, about 5 or 6 years ago. I don't do covers very often, but I had worked one up over the course of many years. And a mutual friend of ours said, you've been working on that cover tune. You should finish it and put it out. And so I did, and I put it on the When the World Was Young album. I did a version of Crispy and St. Peter's big 1966 hit, Pied Piper.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that song.
I do remember that song.
Yeah. Anyway, Ray Paul and I did the vocal together, and we had a great deal of fun doing that. I gave it a little bit of a twist and a little injection and put a bit of a bad finger spin on it. And that turned out to be a lot of fun. I got some nice airplay on that. Too bad I didn't write it. The writer, Artie Kornfeld, is also the author of another song that I covered and put on one of my records, is The Rain, the Park, and Other Things by the Cowsills.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I saw her standing in the rain. That's Artie Kornfeld, too. So
I've
only done a couple of covers, and two of them were his.
And those are good songs. I mean, it's kind of fun, I think, sometimes to listen, you know, to somebody else's rendition of a song. And if it's done good, man, it just makes the song sound better and makes you appreciate the song. But that's cool.
Oftentimes, John, it'll reach a different audience. I think the most glaring example of that is Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower, which is beautiful. But Jimi Hendrix got a whole bunch of different people to have a listen, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it just, when you said that, that just takes me back to, you know, we're talking about a time like in the late 60s when I remember playing that album, the Hendrix album, in my living room with my, we had it, and I don't know if it was the same with you, Terry, but we just had the one stereo for the family. And when I got Are You Experienced by Hendrix, my grandmother was living with us, and she was sitting on the couch, and I went right over to the stereo and put it on and started playing Hendrix. And I think she thought right there at the end, this is it. The world is coming to an end.
Can you imagine? I remember the first time I heard Foxy Lady. I was driving in the car listening to the radio, and I had to pull over. I had to pull over because this was so foreign and such an assault on my ears and my persona. And it was all encompassing. I had to try and understand what was going on. It was magic.
Yeah, no, it seriously was, and I can remember listening to it, and I was like you, I was totally into it. I was standing over the stereo with my hands on it, just taking it all in, and my poor grandma was thinking, what in the world is happening, right? And I had it, you know, it was cranked up as much as I could. But
I'm sure she's still mad at you, John.
She's probably thinking, she probably thought, my poor grandson, he's been kidnapped by, you know, demons and all this kind of stuff. But it was one of those things where I really appreciate, you know, you saying that, because that brought back my memory of All Along the Watchtower, and Dylan's version was awesome and still is. And it just
kind of rolls.
It is
indeed. It's timeless classic.
Oh, yeah, it's great stuff. Well, I think we should play one more song, and then we'll come back and just kind of finish things up, the interview. I just love having you on, and I always have such a good time. Let's play. I want to play Our World, and
really?
would you like to talk about that?
Okay. The songs come from the strangest places. Our World isn't one of them. Our World is just a song that I wrote about my wife. We do a lot of traveling, and it's her and I against the world. When I think about her, I get this gleam in my eye and a smile on my face. And the lyric is hand in hand with that. You know, I see you smiling at me like you do, and it just warms my heart. And this song just kind of fell out. And there was a fellow who lives in Coquitlam, Steve Jensen, and he was doing a tour across Canada. He'd rented a car, I think, in Vancouver, and he was driving to Newfoundland and then flying home for some unknown reason. But him and I had been talking, and he was a fan. And I said, hey, you're going right down the street from me. You're going to pass my house. come on in and play some guitar.
Oh, wow, well, that's awesome.
He did, and he played the electric guitar on this song, and that really saved it for me because the song was kind of sitting there, and it needed a kick in the ass, you know, it needed an injection, and Steve did that, and he also sang a bit of background vocals with me too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, that is fun. That is really cool. When you want to be a part of this, come on over. Bring your instrument. Come on over. Let's record.
Yeah, you're right down the street. Come on over. What does your wife think of this song?
I think she thinks I'm still trying to woo her after 40 years.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
No,
well,
she gets it. She gets it. I just don't stop. You know, I'm a relentless romantic. And if she's listening, she's down in Florida, and if she's listening, she's got a big smile on her face. I guarantee it.
Well, let's play it. This is Terry Draper, Our World, from his latest album, Sunset on Mars, and we'll be right back after this. And we're back with Terry Draper. We're talking about his latest release, Sunset on Mars. You can go to Terry's website, terrydraper.com. Terry, you said you make a lot of videos to go with the songs. And I know that the video that you have about Sunset on Mars, the song, that's really cool. Would you like to talk to the listening audience just a little bit of how you come up with your ideas to represent your songs through the visual media?
Interestingly enough, John, most of the videos I make are like cheesy little slideshows. There's one song on the album called, it'll come to me in a second, it's called Lima the Gray. Anna and I spent a couple of weeks in Peru a year and a half ago, and we did this whirlwind tour, swam in the Amazon and went to Machu Picchu and down to the plains of Nazca in the south by Parancas, and just 2 weeks of traveling. And we had a tour operator that picked us up and shuttled us around and dropped us off. But Lima was our headquarters. And so I made this little slideshow of these pictures I'd taken of Lima, because it was a very great place. Anyway, I digress. The videos for this album were made by this fellow, Jamie Grant. He has a band called McPherson Grant, and they invited me to play some drums on one of their off-the-wall kind of songs. And I had a great deal of fun doing it. And I've done some more with them. And when I talked to Jamie and said, look, this new album's almost finished. It's coming up. It'd be nice to have a couple of videos. What say you? And so he sent me a song. So I sent him a song, and he did all 15 of them.
Wow.
He's done 16 too, but I haven't included the video for... the cover song on this album is "If I Only Had a Brain" from Wizard of Oz,
right? Yeah,
which is a piece of music that I have been playing at the piano for decades, and it's one of my all-time favorite songs. And when I recreated it and recorded it, I have the songbook back from the 40s, and in it included is the introduction for each character.
Wow.
and in the movie those introductions aren't part of the film. They're on the cutting room floor. So no one's ever heard these introductions. And I thought, well, if I'm gonna do this song, I'm gonna re-include these intros the way the authors intended this song to be heard. And then in the arrangement, I treated each of the three characters differently. The scarecrow is with all violins and some pizzicato, and the tin man wanting a heart, all the arrangement is done with the angelic cherub voices like the Munchkins and
okay.
singing, and the lion is done with a brass section because of his bravado. Or lack thereof. Anyway, and so that's on this album too. And Jamie did a video for it, but it was so off the wall. I said, "Well, hold on." the song is an afterthought because of the subject matter on this album, Sunset on Mars. You played Screenagers, which is a happy song and uplifting and hopeful. But it's dark subject matter. There's another
right.
song called Watching You. And years ago, John and I, you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, we did this song, Calling Occupants. Well, they finally responded, and I wrote the response. It's called Watching You. And so I created this song about if the aliens are watching us, what are they thinking? And so it's them singing to us, we've been watching you, and this is what we think. And it's not all good news, as you can imagine, John. So after all of this stuff and some powerful, thought-provoking music and ideas, I thought, how better than to end this album with "If I Only Had a Brain," which is completely throwaway and very lighthearted. So when you leave this hour-long journey of music, you know, there's a smile on your face.
Yeah.
And you can go back and live with the darker thoughts a little later. So, but the video Jamie did for that was kind of weird. So, and it was supposed to be an afterthought. But he did all these videos, and I had some input. He'd send me something, and I'd say, well, you know what, that's great, but, you know, no, you can't have take that out. That's no good. I don't want to be associated with those people or whatever. But generally, I just gave him his head, and he's very creative, and he sees stuff that I don't see, and it's really interesting to get someone else's take on what they think I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know?
That is cool. Yeah, that's very cool to get another view of it. Well, I really, really enjoy the album, and I've listened to it several times, and I played it on all my shows, and I'm getting great response from it. So thank you so much, Terry, for putting that out there, and keep putting great music out there. And I just really appreciate talking to you tonight. Is there anything you'd like to say that I might have missed, or anything you'd like to say in closing to the audience out there?
Oh, geez, you did this to me last time and caught me off guard, and you've done it again. I can't stop making music. I just love doing it. It's a growing process, and it's a learning thing, and it keeps my brain active, and it keeps me out of trouble. And if I didn't put CDs out or albums out, I would do it anyways. And so, you know, I am so grateful that when somebody, you know, contacts me and say, geez, I really like that song you did, that thing about the thing, you know, that really warms my heart. Mm. And it's all about contact. It's all about reaching out and touching people and touching them, and they get it, or they get something that inspires them. Or you know, maybe they just have a thought, geez, maybe my kids do spend too much time on their phones, you know, whatever,
yep.
John, you know, it's just, it's really nice that people touch back.
Well, it's really awesome stuff. I love it. Keep doing it. I love, and when you put out some more music, we'll have you on again, Terry. Thank you so much. For what you do and for your album. Just remember, people, it's terrydraper.com. The album is Sunset on Mars. Terry, thank you so much, and have a great evening. And
thanks,
we'll
John.
Talk to everybody.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's great always talking to you. And I want to thank the people out there that support independent musicians. It really means a lot to everyone. So thank you.
Me too.
And everybody have a everybody have a great evening, and we'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Thanks, John.
Thank you.